It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A record number of lawmakers have signed on to support a bill headed for the Pennsylvania legislature to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity throughout the Commonwealth. Pennsylvania has a statewide non-discrimination law, but it does not include sexual orientation or gender identity. Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and other large cities already have inclusive non-discrimination laws. But of the 15 largest Pennsylvania cities, three, Altoona, Wilkes-Barre, and Williamsport, do not have language protecting members of the LGBT community from being denied a job or a place to live. I'm joined now in Studio A by Democratic State Representative Dan Frankel of Allegheny County, the prime sponsor of House Bill 300. Representative Frankel is also the co-chairman of the Pennsylvania Legislature's LGBT Equality Caucus. Dan Frankel, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Also with us is Pittsburgh resident Tiffany Wilkins, who prefers to be called T. She is a doctoral student at Duquesne University who was recently terminated from her job due to an incident related to her sexual orientation. And we'll hear her story. Tiffany Wilkins, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, and thank you for having me.
And if you have a comment or question, would like to join the conversation, you can call us with your questions or comments at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Have you or someone you know ever been discriminated against on the basis of your sexual orientation or gender identity? Again, the number 412-246-2002. Representative Dan Frankel, as prime sponsor of House Bill 300, describe what this bill would do.
Well, it's surprising to many people that in Pennsylvania today, through much of the Commonwealth, it's still legal to fire somebody or refuse to hire somebody or deny them renting an apartment in their building or even a retail space because they may be gay or transgender. It's the last vestige of legalized discrimination that Pennsylvania still embraces. As other states are moving forward to rule out and make illegal the ability to have this form of discrimination, Pennsylvania still remains still many states that it's still legal to discriminate against the LGBT community.
And a number of cities in Pennsylvania, including Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, already have such protections, as I mentioned, that are built into their laws. Of the 15 largest Pennsylvania cities, there still are three, Altoona, Wilkes-Barre, Williamsport, that do not have language protecting members of the LGBT community from being denied a place to live or a job. But in the big cities, we have these protections. So why do we need a statewide law?
Well, it begs the question. We also have it in Allegheny County. So it's a city of Pittsburgh and Allegheny County.
Right.
So if you're in Allegheny County, you're protected. But if you were to move or to work in Butler County, you lose those protections. So we have such a thing as equal protection under the law. We need to have equal protection for all members of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, regardless of where they live. It doesn't make sense that you're protected in one community and not in another. There needs to be one uniform statute that protects every Pennsylvanian. And I think it makes enormous sense to most people, and the public supports this. We have 72% of the public supports extending these civil rights protections in Pennsylvania. The legislature has been slow to recognize that as the whole thought process has evolved in terms of how we treat our LGBT brothers and sisters.
And yet, despite the amount of support that you say exists out there among the population in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the ordinance was recently referred to the State Government Committee in the legislature, which is chaired by Republican Representative Daryl Metcalf in the House of Representatives. He says he won't schedule a hearing on the bill because, he says, it wouldn't muster majority support on the panel where there are 15 Republicans and 10 Democrats. And we have this soundbite from Mr. Metcalf in which he says that he objects to the notion that the bill is an anti-discrimination proposal.
No, I think the discrimination is being turned around on people of faith. You know, as an individual who is a Christian and knowing many others are around the Commonwealth, around the country, we shouldn't be forced to accept their lifestyle in our homes and or in our businesses if we choose not to.
That was State Rep. Daryl Metcalf. Representative Frankel, what about Mr. Metcalf's argument that citizens of the Commonwealth should not be forced to accept the lifestyle, in his words, that LGBT people have in our homes and businesses?
Well, it's the same argument that's been used over generations in America as a rationale to be able to discriminate against a specific class of people. We saw it related to race. We saw it with respect to miscegenation laws that were throughout the states in this country. And there's nothing about the piece of legislation that would prevent discrimination that prevents somebody from practicing their religion. You just can't discriminate against somebody. You can't fire somebody. And I think people generally embrace that concept. That Representative Metcalf, I think, is representing a point of view that is not embraced by the faith community, because much of the faith community supports this legislation. We've had press conferences with a very diverse group of leaders from the faith community who believe that this is consistent with their religious beliefs. And the fact of the matter is this is something that is a long time coming and is something that Representative Metcalf is out of tune with, and he's not in step with the pace of history as it moves, I think, to embrace civil rights protections for every Pennsylvanian and every American.
How did you end up becoming the prime sponsor of this legislation?
Well, it's something that's been very important to me since I was elected in 1998. I've always been involved in the civil rights movement and it's something that's been of interest to me. And to see an area of our society in where it's still legal to discriminate against somebody for an attribute that is innate, sexual orientation is an innate factor in somebody's makeup, just the way race is. That it should not be used to be able to tell somebody you can't work here, you can't live here, you can't play here. And I think that most, as I say, most Americans and most Pennsylvanians certainly enthusiastically share that belief.
This has become an important cause for you.
Yes, and I think it's become an important cause for many. I mean, we're talking about the country's moving forward even to talk about marriage equality. And this is not even marriage equality. This is just a discussion about a non-discrimination statute that would prevent discrimination, let alone not even deal into the area of marriage equality, which is something I support as well. But folks try to mix these issues up. Right now we're talking about non-discrimination against the LGBT community. I think its time has come. And what you've seen in the legislature is an evolution of itself, because we now have 91 co-sponsors in the House. It's bipartisan. We have 14 Republican members who are supporting this legislation. We have 25 members, or 50% of the Pennsylvania Senate, who've signed on in a public way to endorse this piece of legislation. Unfortunately, it's in Representative Metcalf's committee. We asked the Speaker of the House to refer to a committee where we thought we would get a fair hearing, but unfortunately, the Speaker sought to give it back to Representative Metcalf, who's obviously, as your tape indicated, has made no bones about saying he's not going to support it and he will not allow it to come up for a vote and not refer it out of committee.
Let's bring Tiffany Wilkins into the conversation. You are a doctoral student at Duquesne University. You were working a job in Pittsburgh before being terminated due to an incident related to your sexual orientation.
Right.
Describe what happened.
Well, it was a situation where working on weekends, you are there early in the morning until pretty late in the afternoon. And so I finished my shift, tired, had homework, coursework to do, had a conference to do with other classmates. And so I had my school bags with me. I had my backpack, my books, all my things that I brought to work with me, heading out the door. And a customer comes in and makes a comment. which then kind of sparks this kind of confrontation.
What kind of a comment?
Initially, it was something like, get out of the way, or, you know, say excuse me when I walk by you. Pretty much like, you know, step aside when I need to come in and move out of the way and let me through. Wait till I come through and then, you know, then you can proceed. And so when I continued to leave out of the door, again, the confrontation kind of spiraled where, you know, I said something to her and she responded that, you know, homophobic slurs, you know, things using, you know, dyke, other kinds of expletives that I, you know, bothered me and tired at the point where I lost my temper and I responded to her, but you know, not yelling at her, but trying to just at this point leave and go home. She followed me to my car. There were threats made to kill me, to hurt me, stab me, this kind of thing. And when I said that I would call the police, her response was, you know, call them. As if to say, like, if you call the police, you involve law enforcement, nothing will be done. And I did call them. They did come. And for the most part, they did very little, although I did explain what happened. And I just ended up leaving and, you know, going on with my day-to-day activity.
So very uncomfortable incident, a confrontation. This mm-hmm. was with a customer in this place you were working. Mm-hmm. So then what happened after that?
You know, I contacted a friend of mine, very good friend, Latasha Mays. She works with New Voices. And, you know, just venting, telling her what had happened, you know, feeling in some respects as though I was responsible for what had happened, as though I had brought this on myself. And speaking with her, you know, she began to immediately put in my head the thoughts that, well, number one, this wasn't your fault. Number two, what are you going to do now? Because really, I think for a large majority of LGBTQ identified people, you know, we begin to become accustomed to this kind of behavior and kind of consume it into our lives where we get used to this kind of treatment and used to the fact that, you know, for the most part, nothing will be done to change it. And so you learn how to survive with it. You learn how to live with it. You know, in this case with my job, yeah, I needed the job. I'm a student. I need the money. And so.
And you tried to defuse the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, while I was.
You walked away.
I did. And I walked away and the woman actually followed me and followed me to my car. And I mean, it just continued to that point. And I, you know, I can tell for the most part, I think most people who will say things, particularly with the statement that was made by the gentleman that we just heard. You know, there are arguments there that, you know, people feel as though you have to change what you believe and take on other people's kind of beliefs of who they are and who they're going to become. And, you know, it's really not like that. I think the majority of it for me personally is that I'm just trying to make a living. I need a job. I need a place to live. I need to be able to function so I can go to school and be successful. And that's largely what we want. I don't think that's a lot to ask.
And as a result of this confrontation that you tried to walk away from, mm-hmm. you ended up losing your job.
I did. I actually went back into the store and told my supervisors what had happened, told them that I had contacted the police and that they had come out. No report was taken, but yeah, I'd felt that even though I was off duty, I had clocked out, was no longer, you know, behind the counter, that it was the right thing to do to go in and tell them what had happened so that they would be aware. When I came back, I was told that this same person who also during the exchange, you know, proceeded to kind of pull up her clothing and, you know, accuse me of actually wanting to or trying to make advances towards her and this kind of thing. You know, that this has happened. It had happened. And so, you know, please be aware of it. You know, what do we do now? And after that, it seemed as though everything was kind of fine. You know, they were like, you know, thank you for telling us. And things went on as usual. And then I came in for work one day and it was just like they let me clock in. And then told me, okay, well, I think it's best that we part ways, is what I was told. So.
And what was the reason that they said it was best to part ways?
No reason was given. I was told to contact Human Resources. I was given a phone number. I called, initially just stating my name, what had happened that day that I had been dismissed, and I was inquiring to find out what took place, what were the reasons, just to get some information. I was never called back. I tried two other times to contact human resources and never got a reason about why I was dismissed. No explanation.
Why do you think you were let go?
I mean, honestly, I think, you know, it's a business, and businesses are more concerned with, I think, though provisions are supposed to be in place to keep us safe on the job, it's about profit. And so if a customer calls in and complains, makes statements, you know, to the effect of being dissatisfied as a customer, that's going to be considered first rather than looking at who this person is. And there have been incidences with this particular person with other employees, not just me. And so I guess she just took it upon herself to single me out for particular things that, you know, she said during the exchange.
So the reason that you think you were let go was because of your sexual orientation?
I do. I think that the incident definitely took place and was based solely on my sexual orientation, based on what the woman said, what she threw at me. And then when I actually called in several times to say that this had taken place, that, again, the authorities had been called, these statements had been made, to not receive a phone call back to explain thoroughly what took place, why the decision was made to dismiss me, what it was based on. I received no communication about that. So to me, it says that, you know, my place of where I was working wasn't safe for me to be at, and that I was dismissed regardless of what took place and what was said to me.
So this happened in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and Dan Frankel, in Pittsburgh and in Allegheny County, there is protection built into discrimination laws to protect people from being fired or denied housing, in this case being terminated from a job, as happened to Tiffany Wilkins, based on her sexual orientation. There is language in Allegheny County and Pittsburgh to protect against that, and yet this happened. So what recourse does a person like Tiffany or T have in this situation?
Well, we have a human relations commission in Allegheny County and the city of Pittsburgh that is supposed to take up complaints like this. That opportunity is there for every citizen, we should have it at the state level as well. But I think what Tiffany's experiencing and what other members of the LGBT community are experiencing is a kind of hostility that is fostered by a political culture that insists that these folks aren't entitled to equal standing in front of the law the way others are. And that kind of hostility ends up kind of encouraging the kind of reactions that that Tiffany and others get that are really offensive and hateful and intolerant. And I think state law needs to reflect a more tolerant community. And if we did that, if we acknowledge the rights of LGBT people, I think not only will we prevent them from being fired or denied housing, but you'd also create a more welcoming community where hostile acts like this are less likely to take place because we are more accepting as a state and as a community of everybody in our community.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Our guests in Studio A, Democratic State Representative Dan Frankel of Allegheny County, prime sponsor of House Bill 300. Also with us is Pittsburgh resident Tiffany Wilkins, who prefers to be called T. She's a doctoral student at Duquesne University and was recently, as you just heard, terminated from her job due to an incident related to her sexual orientation. Have you been let go from a job or experienced discrimination based on sexual orientation? Have you been denied housing, been denied a job, or fired from your job based on your sexual orientation? 412-246-2002 is the number to call to take part in the conversation. We'd like to hear your stories and also your thoughts about legislation to protect the LGBT community in anti-discrimination laws in Pennsylvania. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm joined in Studio A by Democratic State Representative Dan Frankel, who is the prime sponsor of House Bill 300, which is designed to create a statewide non-discrimination law in the state of Pennsylvania. He is the co-chairman of the Pennsylvania Legislature's LGBT Equality Caucus. And also with us is Pittsburgh resident Tiffany Wilkins, who is a doctoral student at Duquesne University, recently terminated from her job due to an incident related to her sexual orientation. We'd like to hear from people in the Pittsburgh area who have experienced something similar to what T has experienced in terms of being denied a job or, in her case, terminated from her job based on her sexual orientation. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Let's go to the phones. We have Ginger in Mount Lebanon on the line. Ginger, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in.
Okay, I also was fired because of my alleged sexual orientation. This did not occur in Pennsylvania. However, it was in Michigan, a state that also lacks any statewide fair treatment laws for LGBT people. And because the reason for my firing was not covered under any laws, my employer essentially got away with it, and I had no legal recourse. So it's very important that we have these laws in Pennsylvania so that people like me, who had been promoted every single year I was at this position and did a very good job, won awards, could be fired for my sexual orientation.
Let me jump in, Ginger. You're saying you were fired for alleged sexual orientation?
Right. What happened was my supervisor called me into his office one day and said that he, quote, thinks I'm a lesbian, unquote, and this deeply offends his religious beliefs. And he took out a Bible and started reading it to me and then fired me on the spot.
And how recently did this happen to you?
This happened in 2005.
So within the last 10 years anyway,
yeah.
And before many places, many, many cities and counties around the country adopted language to protect people in civil rights or ordinances based
right.
on sexual orientation and gender
right.
identity.
Go ahead. The company even had an official non-discrimination policy. The company had equal partner benefits. We had an LGBT employee resource group. And I, of course, I complained to human resources. I filed a formal complaint. But again, the company did absolutely nothing about it.
You had no legal recourse.
I had no legal recourse because what my supervisor did was technically not illegal.
Dan Frankel, this is what you're trying to prevent.
Right. There needs to be a statewide law. But what's really quite remarkable, and as the caller says, I mean, her company actually had a non-discrimination policy in its bylaws. And the fact of the matter is every Fortune 500 company in Pennsylvania has these protections in their bylaws. Every university, our state public universities have those protections as well. But the fact of the matter is until you have a state law, until it's uniformly applied, I think everybody is at risk until you have a law that gives everybody the same standing in our state. So the environment that in Michigan, it may have changed since then because more and more states have adopted this. Now 22 states have these civil rights protections in place, and those 22 states have the vast majority of the population of the United States. Almost all the states that surround Pennsylvania provide these civil rights protections, and I think West Virginia is on the verge of approving their non-discrimination statute. So we stick out like a sore thumb as a place that still tolerates discrimination against a class of people that's just unacceptable. It is an embarrassment. It is something that I think hinders us in terms of our economic development. Employers today want to move to a community and invest in a community that is tolerant, that has these sorts of protections. People from the LGBT community want to move to a state and make investments in a state where these protections exist. They don't want to be part of a state that embraces intolerance. And I think it's going to hinder us moving forward as a state that wants to create jobs, create opportunities for people, be an attractive place to live, unless we start to embrace civil rights protections for every Pennsylvanian citizen.
412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's go to Lionel, also in Mount Lebanon. Lionel, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, thank you. First, I'd like to thank Representative Frankel for introducing this legislation. But what I really want to do is to respond to the comment from Daryl Medcalf. He needs to understand that his understanding of religion is not the same as everyone else's. In particular, there are many Christians that believe that the kind of discrimination we've seen in the past is basically immoral. And there are, I'm an Episcopalian, and many Episcopalians support LGBT rights and marriage equality. And I resent someone speaking for Christianity when he clearly does not speak for Christianity.
Well, and so you're saying that there is also a Christian view or Christian perspective that is that you feel is more tolerant than Mr. Metcalf's.
That's right. Progressive Episcopalians have rights as well. It's not just conservative. Progressive Christians have rights as well, not simply conservative Christians.
Well, certainly, that's an important comment to make, Lionel. And are you hearing that from some of your constituents?
We had a press conference when we were circulating this legislation, and we had officials from many of the faith-based groups come and talk at that press conference about how important this was. In my view, I think most people of faith embrace the fact that you shouldn't be able to discriminate against anybody on the basis of their sexual identity or gender orientation. So it's something that is pervasive now. 72% of Pennsylvanians support this legislation. That represents a whole spectrum of religious beliefs. So I think invoking religious objections here is something that is something antiquated, something from another era, and the rest of the country is marching into the future by embracing civil rights protections. I think for Pennsylvania to be left standing by the side as the rest of the country embraces these civil rights protections is an awful statement to be making about our community and our commonwealth.
Our guest, you just heard Representative Dan Frankel of Allegheny County, and also Tiffany Williams, who is a doctoral student at Tiffany Wilkins, I beg your pardon. Tiffany Wilkins, who is a Pittsburgh resident and is a doctoral student at Duquesne University, recently terminated from her job due to an incident related to her sexual orientation. If you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002. Let's go to Eileen in Butler. Eileen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, I think my comment was, unfortunately, there are no perfect employees, and my skepticism is that an employer will always have the ability to devise perhaps an alternate reason for terminating an employee.
That's certainly an interesting scenario that you bring in.
Well, it exists now. I mean,
regardless of sexual orientation, color, whatever it might be, I think it occurs. And I don't think it will ever go away in certain circumstances, in certain environments.
Well, one of the facts, at least what the statute would provide, is the ability of somebody to take the issue to a court of law and have a basis if they can prove it. Now, I agreed, sometimes it's difficult to prove that you were discriminated against because of your gender or your race or your religion as well, and those are existing civil rights protections. But at least those folks have the ability to go prove that in a court of law. Today, if you're blatantly discriminated against, if somebody says, you're gay, I'm going to fire you because you're gay, I'm not going to have any gay people work for me, that employer can do it with impunity and be that direct, and there is no recourse in much of the state of Pennsylvania. And I think that's the difference here, at least giving people the same standing in front of our judicial system because of their sexual orientation or gender identity as people do because of these other innate and inherent characteristics that they have that they can't discriminate against.
I just wanted to interject too. It's important to note that with my particular experience that no reasons were given. And so that if alternatives are there and reasons are going to be come up with or devised or however the caller put it, again, within the realms of the law, those reasons, I think that whoever's being terminated has the right to hear what those reasons are, have a chance to be able to sit and discuss what those reasons were and see if those reasons were founded or not. I didn't get that opportunity, and I think that the bigger piece here is not just that the law be enacted, but it is actually enforced. And so that you don't have LGBTQ people becoming comfortable with the kinds of treatment that we live with, become used to, there is recourse and there are alternatives where we can seek out the justice that we want to get so that we understand that there's ways that we can deal with this and do, you know, not do nothing.
You, Tiffany, you chose not to fight this.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
You know, a variety of personal reasons. Being a doctorate student just consumes every part of who I am at this moment. And so I, you know, at the moment I felt like, you know, I'm going to choose my battles. And I understand, too, that there is a certain amount of privilege surrounding my being a graduate student and actually having the choice to not do anything after having gone through this experience. You know, there are many people, particularly LGBTQ folks of color, who do not have that choice and who will suffer the consequences of lost income because there's no way to figure out how you go about doing what you need to do to fight this kind of discrimination. You know, a lot of people just don't know.
Representative Frankel, what do you suggest people do if they feel that they have experienced discrimination like Tiffany?
Well, if you're in a community like Pittsburgh or Allegheny County, you have a vehicle in order to bring a complaint, and you have legal recourse, and that's a good thing. So people ought to be aware that there is a Human Relations Act in the city of Pittsburgh and in Allegheny County that prohibit this type of discrimination, and they do have recourse. We need it statewide, and I think that that will be there. And we need people to be advocates for a statewide non-discrimination law. So I would hope that folks would call their legislators, their state senators, their House members, and ask them to support House Bill 300 and to make sure that that it gets the opportunity to have a hearing in the state government committee and get voted out of state government so all Pennsylvanians can have the opportunity to weigh in on this issue.
And before we let you go, the development in the news with regard to a gay math teacher with the Allegheny Intermediate Unit yesterday filing a lawsuit alleging discrimination because he is unable to receive benefits for his partner of 15 years as he would if he were married to a woman. What are your thoughts about this case?
Well, it really brings to light and gives and illustrates the reason why we need marriage equality as well as non-discrimination. I mean, we ought to have the ability, everybody, to give the person that they love the benefits that they're entitled to under the law, whether it's Social Security, whether it's a death benefit, whether it's you know, your retirement, the ability to visit and make medical decisions for people in the hospital. These are things that we take for granted as folks who are able to marry, and folks who don't have that right, who have someone who they love, don't have the ability to be a couple in a way that I think all of us want and expect to be able to make decisions for each other.
And that's Democratic State Representative Dan Frankel of Allegheny County, prime sponsor of House Bill 300, joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Also, Tiffany Wilkins, T, doctoral student at Duquesne University, Thank you both for joining us here in Studio A for this very important discussion. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll preview the upcoming Moth Story Slam at the Byam Theater. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.